Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey there, hill folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. We are extremely, extremely grateful that y'all could join us again for another week, for another edition of AI. With you tonight is your host, just me for right now. It's just Justin. I'm all you got. I'm not all you got. The only host you have right now. Lance is on his way. Y'all know how Lance is. He's trying to choke out little ones right now and put them down for the night. He's got one in a sleeper hold and the other one in a leg lock, I think, the last I heard. Our buddy Ryan, you guys, please continue to pray for him. His wife's grandmother's services were actually going on today. I think they're actually going on as we speak right now. So y'all continue to be in prayer for him. I went to the visitation a little earlier today. You know, it is how you would expect it to be. It's a funeral of a really, really extremely well-loved woman that was huge in the community and had a lot of people that loved her and a lot of people showing that support. So we appreciate y'all's prayers. Ryan definitely appreciates that. So we thank you for it. We'll jump into the business here really, really quickly. You guys know where you can follow us on all of our socials, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, Discord, all those good places. You can check those out in the show notes. They'll be listed there. Send us your stories, experiences, questions, concerns, comments, anything you want to send us at appalachianintelligence@gmail.com. If you want to come on the show, if you want to do an interview, send it right there. We'll try to get back with you as soon as possible. But that's the easiest way to keep track of interview requests and stories more than anything. Be sure, continue to keep sharing the show the way that y'all have been doing for a year and a half now. This show has grown leaps and bounds over the last year and a half, and it's only because y'all heal folk. We love you, and we appreciate you so much for that. We really, really do. I know that may just sound like words, and we say it a lot, but we really mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Fortean Airwaves Ultimate Podcast Conference, Ada, Ohio, October the 6th, 7th, and 8th. You get a full weekend with all of your favorite podcasters. You got us, you got Cryptids of the Corn, you got the Bump Podcast, you got the Uncomfortable Podcast, you've got Hollow Sky, and you got Kill the Mockingbirds, all in the same place, one weekend for $50. So the link tree will be listed there in the show notes as well. Click on that, get your tickets, come out and hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. There's going to be podcast panels, there's going to be live shows. There's going to be games going on. Everybody's going to be selling merch. It's going to be meet and greets, pancake breakfast Sunday morning before everybody leaves out. It's going to be a really, really good time. You know, it gives us the opportunity. I keep putting this out there in a way that, oh, well, you need to come hang out with us. But it's more important that we get to hang out with y'all. I mean, that's the main thing here. So the last episode, I said, buy your ticket so you can come hang out with me. But I'm going to change that up. Buy your ticket so I can hang out with you. That's what really needs to happen here. So be sure, buy those up. Please continue to leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Those help tremendously all the way across the board. When somebody goes to search up Appalachian Podcasts, we're the first ones to pop up. And there's a reason for that. It's because those 5-star ratings and reviews, y'all do an excellent job at it. We appreciate it so much. And we appreciate it so much that we're going to read a couple right now. You know how we like to do it? We get a little love. We like to throw a little love back out there. So what I'm going to start doing, since I told you we were way behind, I'm going to start reading where we left off at. And this is how far we are. This is from March the 25th. So I'm going to start reading where we left off at. I'm going to read one from there. And then I'm going to read one of the most recent ones. That way, people aren't having to wait forever to hear their review come up. So the one from March is from Squatchy82. It says 5 stars, down to earth greatness. Hill folk here stuck in the god awful state of New York. I'm sorry. If I could give y'all 1,000 stars, I would. It's awesome to listen and feel like I'm sitting right across the kitchen table, shooting the bull, having a beer. Don't ever change this amazing dynamic. Ryan, the earth is definitely round. Justin, don't fall through a portal. Lance, when we sneaking into the compound? Much love. Well, much love right back, Squatchy82. I will absolutely try my best not to fall through a portal. But if I do see one open up, I'm running through it. I ain't going to fall for nothing. I'm running. I got to see what's on that other side. And now our most recent 5-star review comes from Lost in the 50s. 5 stars. It says, GOAT. I listen to many podcasts with the subjects y'all cover, but yours is truly the GOAT, greatest of all time. Please keep up the good work, and I wish you all good health, success, happiness, and long lives. Great folks from a great part of the country, down home and real. Many thanks. Well, many thanks right back at you, Lost in the 50s. We really, really appreciate that. We appreciate all those 5-star reviews. Y'all are the best. Keep it up. It warms our little Appalachian hearts, our little hill folk holler hearts to hear all those awesome 5-star reviews. But fortunately for y'all, and thank God for me, I mean, I didn't want to sit here and talk to a wall or myself all night waiting on Lance. We do have a very, very special guest with us here tonight. This guy is a true hill folk. Not that the rest of you ain't true hill folk. I'm just talking, he's in the hills and the hollers. Maybe not as we speak, but that's where he comes from. It's where he comes from. He's actually wearing a shirt right now that says Appalachia. I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know. He's doing the Lord's work, working in the school systems as a librarian, which is even cooler. I mean, to be able to be surrounded by all these books all day long, that'd be heaven. That would be heaven. But with us tonight, we have Chris. Chris, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Great, Justin. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, sir. I'm very well, and I'm tickled and excited for this conversation we're getting ready to have.
Yeah.
So, Chris, why don't you tell the hill folk a little bit about yourself, a little bit about where you're from, what you do, and then we'll just go from there.
Sure. Well, my name's Chris, and I grew up in a little town called Hampton, Tennessee, which is just this rural town tucked in the mountains. The Appalachian Trail goes through it. Originally, I was born in Asheville, but grew up until I was 3 years old in a little town called Spruce Pine, North Carolina, which is about an hour away from here in Johnson City. Grew up in Hampton, played in the woods, played in on the Appalachian Trail, and just grew up loving being in the mountains. Graduated high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do in life, and went to college and wasted my parents' money for a lot of years, and went to school for broadcasting communications, actually, and have a minor in film studies, and couldn't get a job in that, and ended up working in a bookstore for a couple of years. And then one summer, I always say that it was God-driven pretty much, that all these teachers started coming in the summertime, and I thought, man, that would be a good gig to have summers off. And I'm here, I am working in a bookstore. I really like books. I should be a school librarian. Next thing I know, I am accepted in a college and graduate with a master's in education to be a librarian. And I've been a librarian for 13 years here in Johnson City. So it's been a crazy ride. I've had a daughter in that time. She'll be 12 years old in September, and she's like a mini me. To have grown up in Johnson City, I've always made it important to make sure she's been connected to the mountains and Appalachia. And again, we're always out hiking, and she's always grown up around my family as well. So she knows what it's like to be an Appalachian 12-year-old. And Justin and I were talking beforehand just how important it is to know your roots and know where you come from. But years ago, I had a bunch of friends, and this is when I was an undergrad, and we would just get bored, and we all loved things that were creepy, and we're all very proud of where we're from, and we just started looking up all these haunted places, and we would go to them, and we've experienced a lot of things in that time, and I've experienced a lot of things in that time, and still do. I just tend to ignore a lot of things I see nowadays, but I think we all do it. I was listening to an episode of you guys where you were just talking about, well, nothing really happened until I started the podcast. And I think for a couple of years, I just stopped watching TV shows and stopped reading books. And I ignored a lot of things that I thought I would see and just let it go, you know? But like I was telling Justin, one day I was like, man, I'd really like to hear a podcast about Appalachia. And that's where I found you guys. And it started clicking back in for me. And I started reading books and watching stuff. So, but yeah, lots of crazy stories that I'll tell you a couple tonight.
Yeah. Well, we're excited, and I'm glad that we could be, your little gateway back into the weird little gateway. AI is a gateway drug, Lance. We're a gateway drug.
Listen, there is no better gateway drug than Appalachian Intelligence Podcast.
We're going to put that on a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
I'll buy it.
We're just going to put Ryan's beautiful face and just going to say gateway drug.
Sold.
All gummied up on the back. Well, no, Chris, I think that is really important. You know, like you said, before we hit record, you know, we had a great conversation before we ever hit record, you know, just talking about Appalachia and our roots and how important it is to be proud of that, you know, to wear it like a badge of honor, no matter where you're from. It doesn't have to be Appalachia. I mean, of course, we think that because we're Appalachian boys, but no matter where you're from, no matter the experiences that you've had or where you've come up from, wear that as a badge of honor. You know, even if it was a terrible upbringing, wear that as a badge of honor. Decide every day to be better and to do better, and that you want to, you know, make a difference in the world. Yeah. And if you've got an accent, if you're cornbread like me, don't be ashamed of that. Wear it like a badge of honor. Yeah. Start a podcast.
Absolutely.
Well, no, Chris.
It's like this Appalachia, like it's, we know the mountains, we said 100 times, like these mountains are older than whatever you can think of. But it's, and we say that as a, I guess, as a metaphor for just the kind of the culture as well. Like you get, once you get Appalachia in your bones, right? And especially middle Appalachia where we're at, like once that gets in your bones, and no matter if you go off from here for a while, spend some time away, like I don't know, countless people that I know have just been dying to get out, right? Just dying to get out of this godforsaken place. There's nothing going on. I just want to leave, want to go to the city or go somewhere else and not be around anymore. And then they always end up right back here because once it's in your bones, well, it don't matter. Like you just can't, it's just part of who you are. Yeah. And it's just, but it makes up the character of who you are, the decisions you make and the way that you act and the way that you talk and everything else. But you just ain't no getting rid of it. And as the older I get, and I think the older people get that I know, we don't want rid of it. We want more and more and more and more of it. Like I like the fact that we're considered a little bit hickish and a little bit country and a little bit uneducated because that's couldn't be farther from the truth, A, but B, it makes us very unique. And it's a good thing. Like we hear everything that you hear, every news station, social media outlet, like we're all supposed to be open with who we are and so proud for the way that we feel. But like when you start talking about people in Appalachia, like we look down on a little bit because of that.
Yeah.
But I'm here to say like, hey, I'm an Appalachian and I'll fly my Appalachian flag proudly. Like it's a thing that is that the older I get, the more proud I am of our area and the more defensive I think too, that I get of our area too, because people off from here, I mean, they just don't get it. Like, they just don't understand what this culture is and what a family it is and what a great place it is to raise kids and to work and to be. And just, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I get a little tingly, scratches me where I itch when I get talking about Appalachia.
Lance is going to start. He's getting emotional.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I'm a really easygoing guy until you make fun of where I'm from, and then it can be bad news after that. So, but yeah, I actually have a bumper sticker on my car that's the pronunciation of Appalachia because I think my number one pet peeve is Appalachia. So,
yeah, take that, Ryan.
Good thing Ryan's not here, right?
That's why our intro begins the way it begins, Chris. That's why people probably don't know this because you'd have to go way back, and we try to steer people clear of the first episode, but that the first word spoken in that intro was the very first words of our podcast ever. You know, I had this big idea that me and Ryan were going to put on this little skit from the get go and just try to be funny and all this different junk. And then, you know, we never did it again, never came back to it. So I was like, well, I mean, it was still pretty good. Let's just throw it in the intro.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is like, you know, Lance talking like that, just us being, you got to look at our ancestors, the people that dug in here in these mountains, these hills and hollers, and no matter what came against them, they dug in and refused to give up. Whether it be the land or their homes or their traditions or their cultures, they refuse to give up. And actually, not just refuse, but if you look at a few different instances of Appalachian folk against a certain federal government, we won a couple of those. I mean, and I'm not talking about any wars. I'm talking some battles.
Yep.
Against some old coal miners and the federal government. But we're going to have to do an episode on that one day, Lance. We're going to have to do an episode covering that.
Yeah.
I just thought about that. But I mean, you got to look at our ancestors. They were proud of where they were from and what they were about. And I think it's important for us to carry that pride on along and to teach the youth. You know, both of you got, well, I guess technically all three of us are in positions to where, you know, we have an impact on the youth in our area. And I think that it's important in what we do to say, hey, look, be proud of where you're from.
Yeah.
You know, you're all not going to believe the same. That's fine. You're not going to have the same opinions on things. That's fine. But be proud of these mountains and these hills and hollers and all the green, whenever you look around you, be proud of that, embrace that and carry that forward. You know, whenever you do find a career or end up, you know, across the country or in a different country or, you know, in an inner city somewhere, don't forget where you came from. Mm-hmm. And not only don't forget, but continue to pass that on, because what I'm getting ready to start, you know, I made the comment the last time when me and Lance talked about how I wished that I would have grew up in the 70s and 80s and contributed to the Foxfire books and all that. But then it clicked, like, why can't I do that right now?
Right.
I can. So I'm getting ready to make a point to go around to all the old timers in my family and my circle and just make time to sit down, and whether it's push record on a phone or sit there and jot down notes, but just to take in everything that I can take in, just so I can continue these traditions and these legends and these, you know, these herb healings and these different ways to get rid of this and to do that. And it's important. It's an important tradition. And man, it does my heart good to see you doing the same thing. But anyway, we'll get off this.
All right, just enough of how great this place is. Chris, give us some spooky stories, brother.
Yeah, let's do
that. Sweet. Awesome. Well, like I said, I had a group of friends, and I'm still friends with some of them today, and some of them passed away. But I'd say the first story I'll tell is about 2005-ish. Again, we would just get on the internet in 2005, even though it doesn't seem that long ago, you really couldn't find a lot of information. You might find a couple of sentences about a certain place. But my friends kept going to this place in Sir Goinsville that was like this older graveyard, and I've really debated on telling exactly where it was, because I'm afraid that there's a church on that property. So I'm kind of afraid of like saying the exact name, because the next thing we know, there are going to be like 800 people in that church and on that graveyard. But if anyone needs to know, they can find my name on Instagram or something, and I'll send it to them. But it's a little bit, it's just off 11E in Sir Goinsville. And it was a Labor Day weekend, 2005. And I had that Monday off, so I knew that we were going to get into something that weekend. And it was probably 12 o'clock at night, and I had an old Honda Element that would fit everybody in and put gas in it. And we just drove through Kingsport and into Sir Goinsville, and they were telling me where to go. And that's the first time I've ever been. And they're, turn right here. And so we go up into the graveyard, and it's an older graveyard. And I actually researched today, they have graves that dated back until like 1700. So you have some Revolutionary War, you have some Civil War stuff in there. And when you walk through the graveyard, your feet would sink in a little bit just from the graves, like, you know, giving way. But there's some newer graves in there as well. And in a beautiful church that sits there, it was very picturesque, I would say. And Labor Day weekend, and I may get shaky saying it because the story is just crazy. So we get out of the car, and there's me and like two or three others. No drinking. We didn't drink. No drugs. Didn't do drugs. We get out of the car, and our goal was always to never talk to each other. We wanted to be able to hear every single thing possible. They had experienced some things in that graveyard previously, like seeing stuff go between graves and things like that, but nothing really, really big, just overall creepiness. And so we go in, and we just kind of flared out. And I can remember the graveyard kind of sits, you can't see me in a podcast, but kind of sits to the right of it. And I just kept seeing something over there in the cow field. There's the graveyard, a fence, and there was a cow field. And I just, it glistened. It was really strange, just super teeny tiny. And I was like, well, that's just some sort of reflector from the farmer that put it over there to keep cows in or something to do with the fence. And just kept on walking. And the closer I got to that little glimmer, it just started opening up. And I hate to use the word portal, but from far off, that's what it looked like. And in my mind, I'm like, this is still just some sort of like street light, something like that. And so we walk closer, and there's, again, four of us. I'm in the middle, my other friend's in the middle, and there's two on the sides. And we walk closer, and then I hear my friend say a cuss word, and the next thing we know is right where the fence is, we see straight up static. It's like watching an old black and white TV. And I have chills. I tell the story at least once a year to people because it's just so mind blowing. But we see static. It's like a TV set. And I look at my good friend that's with us, who's in the middle beside me, and I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "Chris, I don't know what that is." And we move closer, and still static. But it's starting to take a form. It's kind of shifting. And again, hair is standing up on us. We're shaking. I'm shaking now, telling the story. We're shaking. And we're all but like pinching ourselves like, what? Because this is not human. This is not what our eyes are made to see, if that makes sense. I mean, we're just not made to see what we're visualizing right now. It's shifting, and the next thing we know, it's in the human form. And we're a good 40 feet from it. And my friend in the middle just has balls of steel and walks up to it and says, "We don't mean you any harm." And the static guy looks at us and just nods and then raises his hand. And we're like, "What is going on?" And beside of him, a little girl materializes. Straight, just static, like you'd see on a TV. And we were in shock. We were in awe. We were trying to figure out, did someone put something in something that we drank? But we were so frightened. But at the same time, we had like a really sense of peace. It was almost like a communication inside of our brain of like, "I don't mean any harm. I know you're scared, but there's nothing to be afraid of." And this thing, this ghost entity, static portal, whatever, was probably, I'm 6'2", so it's a good 7-8 feet tall. And all of a sudden we just ran. We ran, I fell, muddied up. We get back into the element, and I mean, I back out of that place. We get on the road and no one is saying a word. And I'm like, "Boys, what did we just see?" And they're like, "Chris, well, I don't know." I said, "We just saw something that we're not made to see." And like, is it a ghost? Is it? We don't know. And we were just in such shock that we just drove home in silence. And the next morning, my best friend that was in the middle with me, I called him. I'm like, "Oh, are we sure? Are you hungover? Did we get roofied? Did someone stick something in our drink?" He goes, "Chris, we haven't been around anybody. We've been around each other all day. We wouldn't do that to each other. We had McDonald's for dinner, you know." No, we saw that. And we've told that story to so many people. And we've went back to that cemetery numerous times. And still to this day, I have no clue what that was.
Holy crap, dude.
Chris, you ever went back on Labor Day?
We have went back on Labor Day. And in my mind, I'm not saying I'm a clairvoyant or anything like that. In my mind, every time I go back on Labor Day, it's always like it's not the right time.
Okay.
Even though it's Labor Day.
I got you.
There was something specific about that Labor Day. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
You. Yeah, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. Okay.
And we went back probably 2 years later and maybe 3 years later and didn't experience a thing. And we went back every year. We did experience a couple, one other thing there with some other people, but which was totally different. And I can tell that story as well, but yeah. And every year, and my girlfriend now, I'm like, "You know where we need to be on Labor Day." And she's like, "Chris, you're not getting in the car and going back to that cemetery." But I'll be honest, like it's really strange. We're what, a week and a half away from Labor Day, and I'm itching every year.
Yeah.
It's all I can do to not get in the car
I was going to ask, like, do you ever feel the draw, like, to get back out there? But obviously you do, yeah.
Every single year, like right now, I'll sit on my back porch. It'll be dark, and knowing I have to get up and teach in the morning, and it's all I can do to be like, you know what? I'll get 2 hours sleep. I'm going out there. So it's really hard not to go out there, and who knows? I may, if I go out there this year, I'll let you guys know. But
well, how about
FaceTime us? How about you FaceTime us while you're out there?
I will.
I know. I've got one better. How about we meet you out there?
Dude, I'm down. If you want to meet,
we are this close to Labor Day, and hearing this story, that is not a coincidence. It means we're supposed to be there. This is the time.
I will meet you there. If you'll go, I'll meet you there.
Look, after we get done recording, you can tell us where it's at, and we'll set this thing up, because this is going to have to happen. All right. Yeah. So just really quickly, let me just recap this in my own brain to make sure I did not miss any of this. So at first you see this light that looks like it kind of opens up as to the only word that you use for it. And it's a word that a lot of people don't like to use, but I love to use it. A portal. Lance, a portal is just a name for an opening, okay?
I know. Chris, before he gets into his crazy portal theory, what shape did the initial light have? Did it have a shape? Or could you guess it as a shape that it was like?
Yeah, I always describe it as a certain shape. I won't say on air, but, you know, it's shaped like that.
A diamond.
You know,
a vagine.
That's what we call a
vagine.
Yeah, a vagine. Yeah. When I tell the story, that's always how I say it. And they're like, what? What does that even mean? I'm like, you know.
Well,
like,
but I think that's kind of like, that may have some significant meaning too, though. Like, that's, I mean, it's a place of birth, right? I mean, something is being birthed from this Johnner shaped portal.
100%
T-shirt idea. Johnner portal.
So
yes. Okay, that's, oh man, I've never heard, I don't know that I've ever heard a story like I mean, I've heard of like screen memories and people seeing, you know, static and like, you know, you hear about the glimmer men and the mirror men and all these different, like, just weird looking translucent almost. But I don't think that I've heard a story like this, to where you have like this, just like you're looking at TV static that takes on these two different humanoid forms and then literally, like, makes contact, like, communicates with you, shaking his head, like,
and waving, you know.
So that was the part for me. Like, that was the part for me. So you started explaining it, and I'm like, okay, you know, not heard many of these types of stories, but have at least can wrap my brain around what took place, right? So you did an excellent job, Chris, of describing what was going on, and I could see the static in my head, and could see even like the shape. Form of the man or the bee, whatever you want to call it, and which is all well and good, right? But the fact that it communicated like numerous times with you all was the part where I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like that, you talk about some serious energy being used.
Yeah,
for one, for it to appear, but to be able to hear, process, and then respond on a couple of different, that's an incredible amount of energy that was being used.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
We were pretty much toast a couple of days after that. It's almost like it sucked everything out of us. I think maybe, gosh, it's been so long ago, I may have even got sick, maybe even had like a cold or something afterwards. I mean, we were trashed.
So yeah. Chris,
and you know,
let me just ask you this, because I can sit here and theorize all day and it doesn't mean anything at all because I wasn't there for it. What do you, like, if, you know, gun to your head, what do you think this was? I mean, what's your explanation behind what you think this was?
you know, I've had all these years to think about it, and I think about it a lot, you know, throughout the years, especially this time of year as we get back to Labor Day. The only thing I can figure is we went into that graveyard not knowing anything about it. We didn't know any stories. We didn't know that it was we haven't read anything that it was haunted. We knew it was there. We knew it was a Civil War graveyard. We knew it had Revolutionary War graveyards. And that's the only reason we went. We didn't hear anything about it being haunted. We didn't hear any ghost stories, nothing like that. We just, here's that church. Let's pull up in there and let's just see what we can see. In my brain, and this, again, comes from, it sounds weird to say, but the information that I can get from that night was it was the right time. It was the right place. It was the right time, and felt like it needed to show us something at that time. And, and, you know, Lance has talked about in previous episodes about how, you know, positivity, I really think it was just the group of people that were together at the time too. Like I said, a couple of them, there's only like two of us alive, two of them passed away. And that's a story for another time. But, you know, I felt like we had such a good bond of a friendship, like you guys do, that in my brain, that's what made it appear. It was almost like right place, right time. Here's this great energy. I have to show these people that I exist or whatever. Does that make sense?
Let me give the boys a show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what really did it for me, I mean, I was shocked when I saw the man raise his hand, but when the little girl appeared, that's when I ran. That's when I lost it, because it was almost like he was protecting her. That's what I thought when I was like, I can't do little kids. I'm out, you know?
Yeah.
So
little kids are scary.
Yeah, they are.
Well, no, that's
Chris.
That's,
remember, this is probably a vague detail that you might not recall, but this is just for my own wondering. Do you remember what the moon was like that night? What phase it was in?
I do not. Okay. I know that it was not full, because sure. I've been there in full, and it lights up the place when it's full. I mean, the tombstones almost glow when it's a full moon. But no, I have no clue. If I could probably research and go back.
Sure, yeah, we could look it up and find out. I mean, it would be pretty – Labor Day, have at least every year would have a very similar noon phase. I think 1st of September, I would imagine, would be a
– yeah. Yeah.
Waxing crescent, but
that would be interesting to know.
Yeah. Wow. And the reason I asked
really
is because,
specific there, Lance. I'm kind of impressed.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked, because I just did a quick, like, just as you were talking, I was like, well, why Labor Day? Like, what's the reasoning behind this? So I just Googled real quick, like, hey, paranormal activity uptick during Labor Day. And I got 4 hits, bam, 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 about lunar cycles in the late summer, and how there have been a bunch of people or experts, if you want to call them that, that say that there, for whatever reason, there has seemed to be an uptick in paranormal activity around the lunar cycle as it is during Labor Day, more than any other regular lunar cycle. And they were talking about something with, because it's late summer, you know, right? It's getting close to a change of the seasons. So it's close to the summer solstice, and the moon cycle hits when summer solstice, that the warmth of the, usually just the general warmth of the air, could be a reason that there is a potential for uptick in paranormal activity. That was the only reason I asked. I was just trying to file some stuff away for later in my head.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed I haven't thought of that earlier, actually. So I'm going to do the research and figure out, you know, what the lunar cycle was for that day. So, yeah.
That's why we have a Lance, Chris. That's why we have a Lance. Awesome.
That's right.
All right, man. Let's move on. Let's get into some more stories. If they're anything like that first one, we are in for a treat.
Well, I'll just go ahead and finish out that cemetery. I have one other story. I was with a different – no, I wasn't with a different set of people. I was probably with my best friend at the time, who was in the middle with me during the static person. And again, this is probably around 2009, about 4 years later. It was probably mid-October, I would say. And, of course, we're always going back. If we didn't want to drive far, we would always end up in this cemetery, just because – we liked being in cemeteries and trying to find something creepy. So we show up at the cemetery again about not as late, probably about 1:30 in the morning. And we get out of the car, get out of the element. And again, we just spread apart, walking through. And I actually have a picture. I'll send it to you. I actually have a picture of us in the cemetery that night before everything happened. Should have tried to take pictures when it happened, when the thing happened. But again, same fence row, further up. And again, there's cow field over there, graveyard, fence, cow field. Huge tree, gigantic white oak tree, I believe white oak. It's sitting there, huge trunk. And again, I think that I see something, but of course my instincts are pretty high because I'm trying to see the static guy again, you know? So I'm like, what is near that tree? Because I can see a shadow, but when you get in that dark, your eyes do weird stuff. You know, you think you see something and you have to triple blink and then it's not really there. And so I just kind of wrote it off. I was drawn to it. I was like, I've got to see what's near the oak tree. And then I can hear my friend be like, Chris, what are you doing? And I'm just, yep, I'm walking this way, you know. So I walk closer and I walk closer. And then again, in my brain, you need to come closer. And so I walk. Again, I have chills. It's hard to talk about. I get closer to the tree and then something black appears. And I can hear my friend to the left, Chris, stop. And I'm just like, whatever, dude. And I was just dead set of walking to this tree. And he's like, Chris, stop. So I keep walking and all of a sudden I freeze like this. And I can't even remember the words that come out of my mouth, but I'm gibbering. And it's like something's like, it's like a puppet. I know this sounds crazy. It's like a puppet going, and I'm blah, 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 blah. And I just fall backwards. And then my friend's like, get up, run. And then when I look up, there's just this black mist like over top of me. And he's watching it. So I flip around, I crawl, and then we run again. And then we both turn and we just see. Man, I'll try to stand up. It's just like this. Again, I'm 6'2". My friend's 6 foot. It's just towering over us. And in my mind, it's a she. And she's just doing this. She's not touching the ground. We're running. I'm falling into graves. I'm turning ankles. We jump into the element again. Out of there. And we're in the car. And I'm like, okay, we can't go back here for a while. I physically and mentally can't handle what's going on in this graveyard. And he's like, dude, I was trying to tell you to run. Yeah, I saw it before you did. And I'm like, I know. But in my brain, it was like, come here. It's almost like, I want to show you something. Come here. And I start gibbering. And then I just fall straight back. And then next thing I know, it's just hovering over me. And he's like, get up. I mean, and I tell that story and they're like, eh, Chris, I'm not sure about that. I'm like, I can't make this story up. I just can't make that story up because it creeps me out too bad, you know? And I still think about those two stories. We've went back after that and never experienced anything. And it's just really peaceful and calm. And then when I stopped, like, going to places, we would start going to different places and never experienced anything else there. But we went pretty often just when we got the balls to go back to see if we could experience something, but never did any other times.
Hey, Chris.
Yep.
Stay the F away from the cemetery.
Dude, but I know it's so weird. And like my girlfriend's waiting on it. She's waiting.
Don't go back.
She's waiting on me to say, you need to go. Let's go Labor Day. We're not going. You're not getting in the car and you're not going to go, you know, but it's a draw. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And I
get that's what they do, Chris. They draw you in and then they possess you.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Look, we can't get possessed, okay? Because we got Jesus in our hearts. So we're going to go.
I didn't at the time, though, and that's what scared.
That's what happened. That's it.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary to think about. Honestly, really, at the time, I mean, I grew up, and I always tell my story. I believed in God, but I believe that I can do this by myself. I don't need somebody to or something to help me through life, you know. And that was the mindset that I had at the time. And and I honestly believed. You're susceptible to things like that when you're not right with the Lord. And, you know, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, man, that's so you've never had. Let me just ask the question. So have you had any paranormal experiences that have followed you since that time?
What do you mean by follow? Like follow me home?
Like anything.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that reached that type of fear level, because that's a whole different, whatever that thing was, had control of you for a split, for however amount of time that lasted. You were.
We know what it was, Justin.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Exactly. We know what it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know what it was. It was Bruno's cousin.
No, and Bruno's mommy, Lewis.
Oh, dude.
That close to the summer solstice?
No, that was in October. That was close to Halloween time, dude. That was close to
Oh, Hell Z.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The what's that called in the
Big Dogs come out to play.
Crap. Why can't I think of anything right now? Chris has got me so worked up. I can't even focus.
I have so many chills. My nipples are so hard right now. I put it through my shirt.
Dude, I know. Like, I'm very hesitant to tell these stories sometimes because they're just, I've experienced them and I know that they're true. And I guess I guess people are sometimes afraid to tell these stories because they're afraid of being ridiculed or that you're crazy and you're on drugs or you're drinking. But at that time, you know, I never did those things. And we always made sure, I mean, we would have a beer occasionally or something like that, but we would never, ever go ghost hunting drunk or any other thing. Because, A, there's a pretty good chance we're going to get pulled over by the law, which we did numerous times. That we're not, and at the time, we weren't allowed back in Church Hill because we were in there so many times. They're like, boys, you Carter County boys need to go back and don't come back. You know, go back to Carter County.
Just random question.
Yeah.
Random question, Chris. What color was the element? Is it forest green?
It was.
I knew it.
Dude, I've never seen a not forest green element.
It was my favorite car I've ever owned.
Yes. Did it have the all like plastic or rubberish interior?
Yeah, man, you could spray that thing out the water hose.
Spray it out.
Yep. Because he's a baller. Of course
that's
it did.
Exactly yeah. Right. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
No, anyway, what I was trying to get into is Samhain. That's what I was trying to think of. Samhain. That's what the pagans.
No, that is.
Yeah, it's a kind of a pagan thing, I think. I'm not even really sure.
It's the Irish version.
Yeah.
The Irish version of Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's
really? Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
Chris, you taught me something tonight, right?
Definition of... I've heard people talk about it, but literally I have went blank with all these stories.
So this happened this happened in October, you said?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I missed that part of the story. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Samhain is the first day of November celebrated by the ancient Celts as a festival marking the beginning of winter.
Yep. Yeah, so it's Halloween.
So, but you have, it was a Gaelic festival, and it was that transition into the darker half of the year.
Darker months, sure.
So
the Irish Halloween then.
That's always been, but all throughout, you know, there's a reason that Halloween is the date that it is. And it's celebrated in all these different countries as, you know, the Day of the Dead or, you know, all this different stuff. And all these different cultures and all these different belief systems believe that that's the time of the year where, you know, the veil is the thinnest. And, you know, if you want.
Which is also why our time changes in the first week of November.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's dark.
Because then it's dark so much more. But yeah. I think that is important, dude. I think that's important that that happened around that time of the year. Like, that's, God, that is, okay, so, quick question, because Lance just brought something up. Did this thing look, did it just look like a humanoid form, or were there any other kind of characteristics about it?
Visually, it looked like just a cloak, like a, just like some sort of weird cloak that just kind of was very dark and then just faded out as it got near, as it got near the ground. In my mind, I knew it was a woman, though. I mean, I can't, in my mind, I can't visualize a face, but I knew it was a woman. And that, and the voice inside my head was a woman as well, but more like a cloaked figure, like this, just floating.
Could that cloak have possibly been wings? Maybe not outstretched, but
not in my mind. Not in my mind. Not in my mind. Perfect. In my mind, it seems like a cloak. Like a cloak. Yeah.
Okay. I was just reaching for something. I was trying to prove Lance wrong, and I think I did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's
no, dude. That's happens every time we get together, pal.
It wasn't an owl or a sandhill crane. So.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, no, man, that's terrifying. That is absolutely, that's a terrifying experience. I mean, and it's so crazy the difference between your first encounter there with the Static Man. That's the title of this episode, Static Man.
Do it.
You're with your encounter with the Static Man, of how, you know, you said you felt at peace. You felt peaceful with everything that was going on. Well, that's the complete opposite of your second encounter there.
Yeah.
That is.
And I can't help but to believe maybe it was almost like, well, you've experienced this here. Well, I'm going to make sure you experience this here too. And I've often thought of that too, because it was both sides.
Well, yin and yang. Well, yin and yang.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going. We are definitely going.
Yeah, let's do it.
Lance is telling you not to. I am going against everything Lance is saying and saying that Lance is coming with.
Let's do it.
Look, we're going to go to this place, Lance, and we're going straight spiritual warfare, son.
Invoke all the demons.
No, that's what's going to
happen. Hey, that's what's going to happen. That doesn't, we can go do what we want to do.
Lance,
it's fine. But we're going to invoke all the demons.
No, that's the opposite. We are going
just by proxy. This is what's
going to
happen.
We are going to take this place back in the name of Christ. Okay. And in the process, we may rile some things up. But it sounds to me like it's a pretty mean-spirited place.
I'll be interested to see, and going and experiencing it on this side of faith. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
I'd be interested to see what experience I would have there on this side of faith. So,
well, it's a good thing we're going there.
Static Man in a Sir Gawain's Static Cemetery.
Yep.
There's your episode title.
That's pretty good. All right, Chris, let's move along, man.
I'm gonna switch gears just a little bit. This is a creepy story, not as creepy as the other two. I have two, maybe one other creepy one that'll beat the other two I just told here in a second. But
oh gosh, beat them?
Yeah, this beat them. I mean, into the ground. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But this one, 2010, my friend and I, who was always on my ghost hunts with me, we were huge at the time. And I still am a huge, big Mothman guy. So we decided to go to Point Pleasant, West Virginia for the Mothman Festival. 2010, a great experience. I don't know if you've ever been there, but as soon as you go into that town, you just know there's something weird going on in that town. Not anything like negative, I would say, but it just has some sort of weird energy to it. Sometimes positive, just sometimes creepy. We didn't stay in Point Pleasant. We stayed across the river in, I guess that's Ohio. Yeah. Across the Ohio River. And we would drive over the bridge, the new bridge into the town. And I'm a huge trail runner. I like running races, not as much as I used to, but we decided that we were going to run the Mothman 5K, and we did. We ran the Mothman 5K that morning, and went back to the hotel and took a shower and decided to do all the festivities and things like that. Then we were walking through town, and there were all these psychics, I guess you would say. And I've never been really prone to believing in psychics or, you know, you guys have talked about granny witching and things like that. I have those in my family and I grew up believing in that. So that for me, that's 100% true. But I was just very hesitant of psychics in general. I just kind of thought, well, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to pay them $50 and they're just going to rip me off and read my face and ask me specific questions to get information. But anyway, we're walking through and this woman grabs my wrist and she goes, I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh no, here we go. She's wanting money. And I don't want to divvy out 20, 30 bucks to this lady. She seems nice, but I just, not my thing. She goes, sit down. I'm not going to charge you anything, but I need to talk to you. And I feel like I need to tell you something. I was like, okay, cool. And I sat down and she starts telling me things, you know, you have a really old soul and, you know, and I feel like that you've been on Earth numerous times. I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm just kind of like, eh, whatever. She goes, but I do need to tell you about your future because I think it's important for you to know. It's like, all right. She goes, to my left, there's a guy standing in all white. And he's telling me that you need to take care of a person that you're going to meet. And I'm like, okay. I said, what does he look like? She goes, he's dressed in all white. He has really dark hair and he has a hat on, a white hat. And I was like, well, I don't know anybody that dresses in all white. She goes, just take my word for it. You'll take care of this person and then it'll fade away, but you're going to get something great out of it. I'm like, oh, cool. And she was like, that's all I have to say. I hope you have a great day. I was like, well, do I owe you any money? And she's like, nope, you don't owe me a thing. Just have a nice future. And I was like, okay, thanks. Didn't think anything else about it. Again, that's September 2010. In October, I meet a girl, and we hit it off. We move in together. And then by January, we find out she's pregnant. And then to the day, September 21st, 2011, my daughter Harper is born. And Harper's mom had a father that passed away. He was in the Navy, in the military. And there's a picture of him with her standing beside of him. And he's dressed all in white and has a white hat on.
Wow.
So you can take that for how it is, but it's just crazy that someone pulls you aside and tells you that, you know?
Yeah, man, that's a wild story. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, again, like you said, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think that a lot of these mediums and psychics, you know, they're really good at playing people and being as vague as possible to make things match up. But we know that they exist because, well, if you're a believer in the Bible, we know that these exist because we're told all throughout the Old Testament, especially about, you know, mediums and people that practice in these certain things. And more often than not, the people of Israel were told to stay away from them and stay away from those practices. It's like in 1 Samuel, you know, when Saul had sent all of these mediums out of the area, or else, you know, they would be punished if they were found to be practicing. Mm-hmm. Well, that was like a political move for Saul. It wasn't because that you know, thought he was this super righteous man, because what's the first thing that he did when he wanted a question? When God, you know, quit talking to him, quit communicating with him, he went and found a medium, you know, tricked her. And there's the whole Witch of Endor thing. So, I mean, we know based on biblical reference that these people do exist, and that they can do the things that they say. So that's just, man, that's a wild story. Like for it to pretty much match up perfectly with what she said. Yeah. To the day. That's
day. To the almost hour. Harper was born like 4:20, September 21st, 2011. And I probably saw that lady about 4 o'clock, 2021, 2010. Yeah,
man, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Crazy.
That's
stuff.
A cool story. Also, Lance said that his little one was hollering, so he apologized. He's going to try to jump back on as quick as
he can. No worries. No
he
worries.
Wasn't just trying to jump out, and he said,
"Yeah,
I
figured that's what it was."
He actually said, "Man, I hate to miss this, but the little one's hollering." So.
No
yeah,
worries.
Man, continue on. I'm cool. Just loving these stories.
Yeah. Next one goes back to 2000. Let me see. 2000. I can't really remember the date for this one. I would say, man, well, I should be able to remember. I think it's 2012. Talking about a topic that you covered two episodes ago, Sensabaugh Tunnel. I didn't really go to Sensabaugh Tunnel a lot. And in fact, I think that we always heard there were two Sensabaugh Tunnels. There was one that you could really drive through, and that's still to this day part of a road. And it's creepy. It's vandalized up. And I think my friends went through there and experienced, like you said in the previous episode, of, you know, the fingerprints and, you know, the things and fogging up windows. And I've always been like, eh, whatever about that. But I never experienced that. But we did some research and realized that the real Sensabaugh Tunnel is you go through that tunnel, you hang a, I believe it's, I can't remember, it's been a while. I think you might hang a right and you go out there where the real Sensabaugh Tunnel is. For us, you might be able to drive your car in there, but it's pretty creaky through there. There's a creek that runs through it. There's houses on the other side. So we were always really mindful of the fact that we're in Kingsport and we don't want to get shot. So, but we also thought that, well, these neighbors are probably used to people parking there. And as long as we're quiet and not disrupting everyone, that they didn't really have a reason to call the law on us. So we always made sure that we were respectful. But one night, it was November. We go, and it was one of those weird nights. I think that we might have went to the Sargoinsville Cemetery that night. And again, my good friend, and then another friend that I'm really good friends with today, he joined up later on, and we went, didn't see anything at the cemetery. So let's go to, you know, the Sensabaugh Tunnel. Previously, I didn't know anything about it. I knew that it was haunted, but I didn't know the backstory like you'd told previously on the episode, and I think I may have found that out later on. But we park on the side of the road to make sure we're out of the road, and we get out, and you can hear the creek running through there. But automatically, here we go again, just creepy feeling. There's four of us. We get out of the car. Now, the way that the tunnel is when you walk in, it looks like I think there might be even a train trestle on the top of it, if I remember correctly, but you could drive a car through. But there's these concrete slabs on the side, like most tunnels, where you can just walk. So we're walking and we hear something. I'm just like, everybody be quiet. So we're trying to listen. We're trying to hear. And I just keep hearing something like whispering in my ear. And everyone's like, I keep hearing that. Like, let's just stop. So we stop. You can hear water. And then we just hear, Chris. And I'm like, here we go. I look at the very end of the tunnel, and it's like a baby blue color girl. And I'm like, anyone else see that? They're like, we don't see nothing. What are you seeing? And I'm like, well, I'm hearing my name. Or like, okay, we hear that. How could we not? And then it's like, we don't see anything. And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. And I just see the girl do this. And so I'll start walking. And like, Chris, where are you going? I'm like, I'm walking towards her. They're like, there's nothing there. And then we can hear, like, everyone can hear Chris. And so my hair's standing up now, and it's standing up then too. And I keep walking, and it materializes a little more, but like this weird, like baby blue color. Then I get about halfway in, and they're about a quarter of the way in. They're like, oh, I hear someone say, oh no. They're like, we see that. And because I didn't describe what I was seeing, I don't think, I may have. They're like, we see a girl. I'm like, that's what I see. The next thing I know, we just hear a voice say, someone help me, please. And it's no one. And we're like, it didn't sound like an echo coming from the other end of the tunnel, but we just hear, someone help me, please. And I'm like, and then I just hear, Chris, someone help me, please. And I'm like, it's time to go. I can't deal. I can't do this. We got to get out. I don't want the energy sucked out of me. And it's weird how your mind switches over. You're like all for it. And then you see it and then you experience it and you're like, I'm done. It's almost like adrenaline. Then it's like a fear fight or flight type thing. And then we're out of there. We're in the car again, quiet. And I'm like, okay, let's just talk about it. What did we hear? We heard your name. We heard someone help me, please. And for me, the girl part of it was, I felt like easy with that. But when I heard that voice, there was something bad wrong with that voice. And I automatically knew that something was wrong, not in that tunnel, but at home. And I was like, there's something wrong. I need to go home. I don't know what's wrong. I don't think it's my mom and dad or anything like that, but there's something wrong. I feel like there's something wrong. They're like, cool, Chris, let's go home. Let's go back to Johnson City. So I go home, get in my apartment, you know, everything's fine, whatever. I go to bed. Wake up, missed call from mom, and I call my mom back, and she's like, your Uncle Sonny died last night. I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, yeah. She goes, just come over here when you can. Come to Hampton when you can, and we'll talk about it. And this has always been a really weird topic in my family. And if they hear this, they'll be like, oh, Chris, I can't believe he told people that. But I go to my mom, and I'm like, what happened? And she's like, well, he was a very eccentric guy. He was a super nice guy, super intelligent, microbiologist, lived in Linville, North Carolina, in the middle of the woods by himself, which is creepy enough.
Brown Mountain.
What happened? She goes, they found, not too far from there. And she goes, they found him head first in his bathroom, in his bathtub. I'm like, well, did he have a heart attack? Well, that's what they think. But I can read my mom's face. My mom, you know, she's like, I don't know. It's like, mom, tell me how you really feel. You know, I know your face. She goes, I just don't think it's, I think something happened. I think somebody came in there. And I was like, well, I don't know. Who would do something bad to him? And she's like, well, no one that we know of. I was like, all right. So me being the librarian, you know, he had a will. I got all the books, thousands of books. And my dad would go in, and I was a teacher at the time. So I'd get off work. And my dad and I would travel all the way to Linville. We'd get what we could. And we had a house in Spruce Pine still. So we would basically make a load from there, from that house to Spruce Pine. And man, being in that house at night, just something wasn't right. Not to mention, you feel like you're invading someone's space when they're dead. You know, you're kind of feel like you're robbing them, I guess.
Yeah.
But my dad does not spook. My dad has stories of his own. You know, we own land in Roan Mountain. He's missing time. I probably should get him on here sometime. But he's not easily spooked. He's like, last load, we're going home. I can't do this anymore. And I was like, all right, cool, Dad. And I would grill my mom until the day that she passed away. what happened? What happened? I don't want to talk about what I think happened. But later on, this is just a couple of months ago, I have a cousin in North Carolina. He's a little bit younger than me. And I just straight up asked him. I was like, you know, our family's not right. Our family's weird. He's like, yeah. I said, what really happened to our Uncle Sonny? What really happened? He's like, well, you know how eccentric he was. He never left a door. He locked all the doors. He's one of those people that locked all the doors, went and checked it. Door is wide open, unlocked. They found him face first in water. And he goes, there's people think he was murdered. And I was like, and he goes, I know who it is. And I was like, well, I don't want to know. And he's like, well, that's just a story for another time. But I honestly feel like being in that tunnel that night, I feel like that was my uncle's voice. When I think back about it, it could have been his voice inside my brain. I felt like that maybe I was experiencing something paranormal. And then, and I know it's kind of far-fetched, but that's what I think about. I think about, okay, here I am doing something crazy with paranormal. And then when I hear that, that's the time that he passed away, you know? And so it was just a weird situation, a weird coincidence, another weird coincidence that I've experienced. And again, my uncle, super eccentric guy, super intelligent, who didn't make mistakes as far as locking doors. But then again, if you ever been to that house in those woods near those mountains, like you guys talk about, there's just something in these mountains. And it could have been, you know, it could have been a person, but my mom swore it was. And I know my mom, in her brain, it wasn't a human. It was something else, you know. Wow. I can't help but to put those two things together and be like, that was his voice. Because me and him were always really, really close. We talked books a lot, and we were very similar in personality. And because I'm kind of OCD, and I'm one of those people that lock doors and things like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just a weird situation. Weird stuff.
Wow, man. That's... this is my opinion here, but you have what my mama would call the sight. These experiences that you've had or that you've had, and you know, the way these things, you're just not seeing it, but whatever is behind that curtain, behind that veil, you know, in a different realm, a different dimension, however this stuff operates, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's able to communicate with you. Mm. And that's what my mom would call the sight.
Yeah. And I'm very hesitant to, I have, you know, we probably have like 80 episodes worth of stuff, but you know, like I'm always very hesitant to say that because I don't want someone to be like, well, you're similarly thinking he's, you know, some clairvoyant or whatever. But I do, and like I said before we got on together, sometimes I've just kind of like toned it down a bit. Sometimes I just don't want to deal with it because yeah. I've had stuff come home with me. I've had so many weird experiences that I just kind of like blinded out. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because it's for me, and again, I don't like talking about it because it makes me seem like some strange person who can read minds or whatever, but it's exhausting. It's exhausting to go through those situations for me because I usually end up sick or just drained and everything else. So it's really weird to talk about and really, really, really strange.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got all night long. I don't care to be tired at work in the morning because this is a great conversation. So anything that you're hesitant to talk about, we'll just make this a hollerback episode and put it behind a paywall.
Sweet. There's see here. What else do we have here? There's one that's really crazy. And I may wait to see if Lance pops back on just because I want him to be able to hear it. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that for sure.
Cool. Let me see what I have. Have you ever been to Harriman, Knoxville? It's outside of Knoxville. Harriman's this town in Knoxville. It's just, I think it's out. It is. It's outside of Oak Ridge. You ever been there?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's another one of those towns that's just, it's not, well, I guess there's mountains, but it's a weird part of, I guess so you consider the Appalachia, but just one of those towns. And I personally think everything in Oak Ridge is weird anyway, just for everything that's went on there. But again, my friends kept talking about this church in Harriman, Tennessee, and gosh, and it's a horrible drive. It's like a 3-hour drive, a little bit further out there. And they kept talking about it and all this stuff they experienced. And I was like, well, you know, I'll have to be at work the next day. And this was probably in the summer as well, around 2004, I guess. And they're like, well, let's drive to Harriman. We have to be there late at night to make sure we experience whatever's going on. And they had researched this. And I mean, you can find this, and I'll actually name the church that's on there, because you can find anywhere. It's called Swan Pond Church, Harriman, Tennessee. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we get in the car, and I was always the one stuck driving. So we're always listening to Coast to Coast, our favorite thing to listen to at night, some Art Bell and everything. So we're listening to that, and it's in a weird place. Swan Pond is, you just take a road, and then all of a sudden to the left, it turns gravel, and you see the sign that says Swan Pond Church. And we go up in there, and it's pretty well lit, actually. There's a church to the left that's super old, and there's a road that goes in the middle, and there's a cemetery to the right, and it's surrounded by woods, but not too further out into the woods, there's houses. And we park, and, you know, when you're out that late at night, you still kind of get the creepy vibes and whatnot. And it's really strange. We get out and we're just fumbling around, looking through the graves and mostly just looking in the woods. And we keep hearing something in the woods, no big deal. We just raccoon or something like that. But all of a sudden, and I hate to say it, because all of my stories are like, oh, let's stop and listen. But that's just what we did. We didn't talk to each other just to make sure that we could hear things. And so we're not talking. But then I start hearing music. And I'm like, that has to be one of the houses. So I just, whatever. I didn't really think that much about it. And then one of my friends goes, oh, my gosh, look in the woods. And I'm like, what? He goes, did you see those eyes? And I'm like, not really, dude. That's probably just some raccoon. So we're all like, man, whatever. And I think they experienced so much stuff there that they were just trying to find something, you know, look at these eyes, look at this. But I kept hearing music. And so I walked over to the edge of the woods where the houses were. Wasn't coming from there at all. I'm like, dude, is your phone on? And that's way before 2004, I didn't have an iPhone. We probably had some flip phone or something. I'm like, dude, there has to be music somewhere. And he's like, oh, no. I'm like, what? He goes, it's coming from that church. I'm like, no, it's not. Don't pull that. We're not going over there. There's nothing coming out of that church. He goes, dude, listen. Sure enough, we walk over that church. And it's like I said, it's well lit. You're like thinking, man, there's nothing that could happen. This church is well lit, and it's well lit for a reason, because they know people go up in there all the time. And I put my ear to that door, and dude, someone's playing the organ in there. Straight up playing the organ. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I'm creeped out, hair standing on my head. I actually had hair then. And and I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking is like, okay, why would the church play music all the time? Maybe they're doing this just to scare people away. Nope. I mean, you know how deep and guttural those organs are. Boom. I mean, it's like I always describe it as like a Scooby-Doo episode or something. It's just like, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, dude, there's somebody in there playing. And so we actually had the balls enough to like look in the windows, like what is going on, see the organ, but don't really see any, can't really see keys or anything like that. Then all of a sudden we just hear the front door of the church go boom, boom, boom. And we are out of there. We're like done. We're not experiencing this. We're out. And some of the other stuff they experienced, and I should have researched it. I should have researched the story behind Swan Pond, but it seems like, and I could be wrong, and you hear the story a lot, but it seems like the pastor poisoned the congregation, and then they were buried in that graveyard. And then, you know, you always hear, well, he hung himself. I don't know if that's confusing. I should have done the research before I came on and told that story, but they would experience weird stuff, and it would be like clomping and like weird eyes and feeling like they're being followed. But that night when the door's getting ready to break off its hinges, it's craziness. And hearing that music, that guttural music of just like jong, jong.
You can't
explain that, you know?
No, there's no explaining that away. I mean, that's just one of those things that, you know, that, dude, that's the thing about every story that you've shared, or I don't even like calling them stories. All of these, you know, each of these experiences that you've had, you can't explain this stuff away. I mean, number one, they're all extremely vivid and you know, it's not just a tree branch fell in the woods and I'm pretty sure that was Sasquatch trying to get me out of there. It's not those kind of stories. Number one, they're extremely vivid, but two, you have multiple witnesses for all of these. It's not just you. Like, you're doing this with multiple people around you.
Yeah.
So to me, that always lends credence to an experience is when there's multiple people. But man, that's just, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know how you would even begin to explain away. I'm trying to do a quick little Google search.
Yeah, I do.
Swan Pond Church.
It's a crazy place. It's just one of those uneasy places to visit. And I haven't been back. I've only been once, and that was the time, just because I was just too lazy to make that drive.
Well, it sounds to me like you found all kinds of really crazy places to visit.
Yeah.
Man, it's so wild, dude. Okay, so I'm trying. Okay. Swan Pond Church, Harriman, Tennessee. They, members of them, what is that supposed to mean?
That sounds weird.
They, members of them. And the they and the them is all capitalized. What does that mean?
Dude, I have no clue, man. I got chills just from you reading that.
That's weird enough.
Yeah.
Well, it says they, all capital letters, they, and then in parentheses, members of them, all capitalized, them, say the preacher hung himself inside the church. Now he haunts the place.
Okay. That was right then. Yep. I remember correctly.
Yeah. And it says that, holy crap, it says that if you drive slowly around the church several times, you'll see him hanging in the bell tower. That is unreal. So here's a question that I have. So are you certain that it was the organ? And not the bell.
Yeah, I'm certain that it was the organ. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, if that would have been the bell, holy crap.
Yeah, and it seems like, and I'll send you an email or whatever. I'll talk to my friends about it. It seems like they may have heard a bell the times that they went. But let me tell you, like, and I know that I've said this about like the cemetery, there's just something not right about that area.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, we're from rural places. We know what that feels like to go in a place. Oh, I feel pretty comfortable. But as soon as you go up that gravel road, you know.
I feel it.
Yeah. And what really blows my mind again on this side of faith, I don't know what it's like now, but back then I'm thinking, I'm not so sure that this is a church, if you know what I mean. You know?
Yeah. Well, dude, so, and you, hey, you know as well as I do, here in Central Appalachia, especially, and I know that, you know, Knoxville, I mean, I would still consider Knoxville Central Appalachia.
Yeah.
But you know as well as I do, some of these churches, they weren't worshiping the same Jesus that you and I worship. They had their own kind of thing going on. I mean, a lot of these small time, little town churches, they may as well have been cults. I mean, like, agreed, the pastor was the end all be all in all that was said and done. And in a lot of these places, you know, they deified these pastors. So they could pretty much, you know, and whatever they were into, I mean, it's, well, I mean, just for and this may ruffle some feathers, but look at how many of these, you know, snake handling churches are still around.
Yeah.
In Central Appalachia. Now, I'm not trying to harp on and go against anybody's beliefs or whatever here.
Right.
But when you have a place that you're handling venomous serpents and you have poison scattered all throughout the church and telling people, oh, you can drink this and you'll be fine if your faith is strong enough. Mm-hmm. That's a cult.
Agreed.
So it's weird, dude.
What's interesting about snake handling is when I first started film and broadcasting, I went to ETSU, and ETSU had the only footage of snake handlers, the only authentic, real footage. And so they made so much money renting that footage out to news corporations and, like, say, if NBC or whoever wanted footage of that, they'd make so much money because they were my professor was the one that went into these churches and filmed that and documented that. So that was the only, for years and years. So I was in school and 2006 and 2007 for broadcasting, we were the only ones that had that footage. So it's pretty interesting.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, man. Well, Lance just messaged me and said that the little one's still up and ain't trying to go back down. So he apologizes again, but he said that you had his permission to go ahead with the crazy story. And then if you want to keep this conversation, we'll close the regular episode out there. If you want to keep on talking about some of this stuff, we'll go to a holler back. We'll go up behind the paywall.
Cool. We'll just keep continuing if that's okay.
That sounds good to me, man.
Sweet. So I've never really experienced any UFO stuff, which is kind of weird because that's really, I mean, I love ghosts and cryptids, but UFOs probably my thing. You know, I really enjoy reading about that. And what's weird is I've never experienced, I look up in the sky a lot and I've never really seen anything, and which is kind of disappointing, but I do have a weird cryptid story that happened really well in the past two or three years. And I think 2020, my girlfriend's name is Chris as well. So it's kind of confusing sometimes. And so we're always going to the movies. We go to the movies Fridays, and sometimes we even go Saturday evenings. We see a lot of things. We're just movie watchers. I'm a film major, and I just love watching film. And I live, well, I'm not going to say exactly where I live because it would be weird and there'd be a lot of people at my house. But where I live is very, very safe. John City's for the most part safe, I guess. But I live in a pretty good neighborhood. I live in a condo, and my neighbor next door, who's super exciting, I'm over here doing this right now, she listens to you a lot. But anyway, outside on the road here, there's lots of weird stuff that happens. We're always hearing sirens where people will be driving down the road. They'll open their car doors for weird reasons. And one night we actually just, I wake up and because I hear voices and I hear it like a boom. Well, not really a boom, just a more of a splat, really. Like, goodness, what is that? I lift the blinds and there's a dude laying in the road and he's passed away. The car's driving. He just jumps out of the car for no reason. The car crashes and he's in the middle of the road. And then my neighbor is like, what's going on? And she goes, I want you to go out there, but I don't want to go out there because she's in med school. But he's driving down the road and he just jumps out of the car. Car crashes and he's dead. Lots of weird things happen on the strip. Again, I always feel safe in here. Not once have I ever seen anything. Have I ever felt weird in this house? But my girlfriend Chris and I were coming back for a movie, and I live like on the right side of the road, and one of the main roads goes up. But this will give away where I live. There's a forested park. I live on one road. There's another road, and then there's a forested park. And we're coming up the road, and my girlfriend, who is very hesitant about that's a story that I'll tell soon, but very hesitant about things, especially probably Mothman or whatever. She goes, what the F is that? And we look, and dude, it's 8 foot tall. Again, it's probably about 150 yards away, super tall, has like bent legs, arms, huge. I'm like, is that my lights? And she goes, that is not your lights. I gun it. I'm like, we're going to go find out what that is. And she's like, no. I'm like, yes, we're going. You saw it before I did. These aren't our lights. There's no other lights around. We're going straight towards it. If it rips the car apart, tough. Whatevs. So we go, and about 75 yards, it turns and disappears. Gigantic. We're talking like 8 to 10 foot tall. Huge. It looks like, it sounds silly, it looks like a wolf, you know? And it's gray and gigantic, and it's on the edge of the road about 11:30 at night. My headlights hit it, I gun it, it turns, phases out.
Holy crap.
And then again, Chris is there, my girlfriend. She's like, Chris, what is that? Turn around. We're getting out of here. And you can take a right. It's on the corner. Here's the road we're on. There's another road right here. It's standing here. And so I just turned to see if it ran down the sidewalk where I walk and run every morning at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And there it is. And I'll be honest, I hit that part every morning. I take turns to rest my legs. I'll walk one morning and I'll run one morning. The hair stands on my head every morning. And I pray every morning, God protect me. I rebuke whatever evil is here in the name of Jesus. Every single morning in my life, when I walk or run through there, it's crazy. And we both saw it with our own eyes.
Wow. So this thing, it was on two legs, right? It was standing up bipedal.
Yes.
And it didn't dart away. It didn't jump away. It just phased out.
Yeah. It's almost like it turned out.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But you definitely saw it clear enough to say that this thing looked like a wolf.
100%. And in your vampire episode, your newest episode, I think you asked Lance, do you believe in vampires? And I'm like, I don't know. And I actually listened to that today. And I was like, I'm not so sure I believe in vampires. I'm not so sure I believe in werewolves. I'm not sure because I've never seen anything like that until then. I remembered that. And and I can't explain it. You know, you always hear I don't know if you've heard of the Wampus Cat. That story. And there's always stories of those walking through downtown Johnson City and things like that. And that's what kind of my brain went back to. But I also go back to, man, there's just so much stuff that we don't know and that's right under our noses. And
100%, dude.
Yeah, even in the city, when we're asleep at night, we don't know what's crawling through where, you know?
No, you're right. And, you know, you're in a city, but you're in a city that's surrounded by woods and hills and hollers and caves. And, you know, we don't know. Look, if these things are physical, if they're able to operate in a physical realm, and I'm talking all of it, you know, if it's able to operate in a physical realm, it would need the same things we need to sustain itself, right? It would need food. It would need water. It would need.
Yeah.
Okay. What better place than a thriving city? You know, in the middle of the night, you just come in, take what you need to get and go back out, you know, try not to be seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if these things, well, even if it's, I don't know, this is where it's so, there's so many different possibilities. You know, if this thing is operating in it's able to jump in and out of different realms or different dimensions, you know, who's to say that when it gets here, it's still not physical, even if it's kind of phasing in and out or doing whatever, it still could have to sustain itself. I don't know. The topic, I mean, what you're describing to me sounds like a dog man. Obviously, I know everybody out there is thinking it.
And same here.
That topic in itself, I think, is so wide open because you hear a whole lot of Bigfoot, Sasquatch encounters where, yeah, there is some woo stories out there, but more often than not, what people describe sounds like it could be natural. You know, it could be just a flesh and blood creature in the woods. These dog man stories.
Yeah.
They're almost always woo. They're almost always like you're talking about, you know, phasing out or just moving so incredibly fast that it's just a blur. And in a lot of these encounters, like, these things have people dead to rights and then just choose not to do anything. You know, and that, I don't know. It just, whew, man, goodness gracious. You have brought it. This has.
I haven't brought it yet.
That still
holding out for what?
That still
No, I still have one. No, I've got one more that's just, absolutely crazy.
Oh my gosh, I thought that was the grand finale.
No, I've held on to the grand finale. So,
Wow.
I'll go ahead and if you want me to start it, or if you want me to wait, if Lance is coming on, either one. Or I still have like one or two more if you want me to get through those. But it's a whatever you think.
Let's.
Because Lance is going to, like, freak out over this one. And I know you will as well, so.
I don't know if Lance is making it back.
Okay,
let's,
no worries.
Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and go with the grand finale. Let's get it out there. We'll allow the public, all the hill folk, because we love them so much.
Absolutely.
We'll let them hear this grand finale.
Perfect. And I've had some notes here too, so you'll see me glance down a little bit.
Oh, that's fine.
I like to start off by this. Again, this is where I knew I had to tell this story, but B, I was very hesitant of just because of what we talked about, you know, the site. And again, I may have that, but it's just weird for me to talk about. So I've kind of like shied away from it, but I knew I had to tell this story, and it involves my girlfriend, Chris, and I've told this story to probably a handful of people, and then I told it to someone that loves things like we do, and he goes, dude, you have to write that down. You have to get the details of this, and you have to write it down. And then I tell the story. I'm like, you know what? I remember a lot of the story, but there's some of it I don't remember because I can't remember. And then Chris is super hesitant to give me the details that she remembers. And I didn't get those details till this morning, because that's how terrifying she is of this situation.
Oh, wow.
I've asked her for over a year, and I said, you need write that down for me. Just so I'm not going to tell you what I remember. I need you to write it down, because that way I can make sure I'm remembering correctly. And she just couldn't do it. And then she knew I was coming on here. I was like, listen, this is one of my favorite things ever. I have to tell the story. Please, will you? And she goes, okay. And then she sent it to me via text today. She was out of town today, so she sent it to me. So I'll have to look at her for some details. But she started having dreams. She lived in this little this house. She has three kids. She's a single mom, has three kids, excellent mother, excellent kids. I mean, her kids get along with my child really, really well, and just a great scenario. And she lived in this house, and she'd lived there for a while. But she started having these dreams every night, and she wouldn't tell me about them. And she would always be really, really cold in the dream. Like, she could see her mouth, you know, the fog come out of her mouth, and just super, super cold. And she said that she can remember vividly opening drawers looking for sweaters because she was just so cold. And then she would wake up. Well, during the dream, she would look up and there would be a face. And then she would just wake up and she would just sit and vibrate in the bed, just so cold, so cold. And again, she wouldn't tell me about it. She was just, man, because she is the most vivid dreamer of all time. She's one of those people that, like, I'm mad at you. Why? Well, I dreamt you broke up with me. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't know if your wife has dreams like or not.
But I think that's a female thing.
I think so. The super, super vivid dreams. And she said, I had a couple of dreams with her before I told you about her. And then she told me about the dreams. And I was like, that's really weird. I said, did she hover over you? And she's like, how do you know it was a she? I was like, well, I just assumed that it was a she. She goes, no, 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 no. How do you know it was a she? I haven't described to you what she looked like. And I was like, well, I know what she looks like. And it's hard for me to tell, because, again, I don't want someone to think I'm some weird clairvoyant. But she goes, no, no, no. I said, just forget it. It's not a big deal. She goes, how do you know what she looks like? I said, because I've seen her stand in your house, and I've seen this woman vividly in her house. Her couch would be here. Her kitchen was there, and she would always cook dinner and things, and she would talk to me through there. And I would sit on this couch, and I would see this woman in my mind, not as you and I are looking at each other, in my mind. I could see her, and she, this face, just mean and dead and just sunken in this old dress. I have chills. And she would just point to my girlfriend and be like, make her stop. I hate her. Make her stop. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, stop, stop, stop. And she goes, no, Chris, what does she look like? What does she look like? I said, well, her hair's in a bun. She has an old dress on. Her name's Catherine. She goes, well, how do you know her name? I said, it's just in my mind. And she goes, that's exactly what she looks like. What does she want? I said, she's pissed off. Whatever you've done, she's pissed off. She's not mad at me. She don't want to mess with me. She's mad at you. She goes, and she starts crying. I don't know what I've done. What have I done? I've just experienced this. What have I done? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. And so after that, she's just so scared of going to sleep. And she wrote to me and said, that night I was in the kitchen and you were in the living room, and in your mind you saw the ghost. And I can't remember why, but I asked you what she looked like. After you described her, I freaked out because it was the same person I saw in my dreams. You asked her name and she told you. And this is the crazy part. This is the part we forget about and we can't find. I Googled her and found her picture. Yeah. She was from upstate New York. And this is the kicker. This is the crazy part. One Sunday I was taking a nap and I dreamed she was choking me. And I woke up and I was paralyzed. I mean, just straight fear, which is, you know, like the, maybe a boo hag, you know, sleep paralysis, whatever. She goes, I couldn't move any part of my body. And I just remember being terrified and panicked. And she goes, if you'll remember, she made me sick one night. We'd been out to dinner for my friend Chad's birthday. We all eat hibachi. We were all fine. And then Chris just gets ill. I mean, she's vomiting, just super sick. And she goes, we'd been to get dinner. And when we get home, and this is just how I am, she goes, you made a joke about Catherine was behind me. And I probably did, because that's how I am as a person. And I said, she needs to F off and leave. And I was so sick that night. She goes, I never puked so hard in my life, and no one that we ate with or living in the house got sick, only me. And so that night is when she was just puking. I mean, it was just horrible sickness just because she said that out loud. And I don't think I saw Catherine behind her at all, but I made that joke and she said that verbally out loud and just gets so sick, puking, whatever. I wake up the next morning and I think, okay, I said, have you brought anything into your house? And she goes, well, yeah, my grandfather passed away. They're selling his house. I brought all kinds of stuff into the house. I'm like, pull it out now. Start pulling it out. We'll get it in the kitchen. Start pulling stuff. I mean, we're talking about a button, anything, a shirt. Pull it out. We got to go through it. So she pulls it out. And there was like a, see how she described it? It was a crock. I don't know, this butter crocks.
Yeah.
And soon as I looked at it, I went, that's it. Get it out of the house. And she goes, I can't. She goes, this was just given down. I went, it wasn't given down. That came from Catherine. And she goes, I just can't get rid of it. It's like, you're going to experience her till you get that and put it back in that house for somebody else to get for when they sell it. And she was like, I just can't do it. And I said, well, I'm thinking in my mind, that's what she's connected to. So in my mind, I kept seeing her and she was just like, she's just so mad, so upset at Chris. And finally, Chris got that crock, took it back. And as soon as she did, stopped.
Wow, man.
But I can still see, and I can be mean sometimes, but I still will crack a Catherine joke because I can still see her in my mind looking at Chris and going, get her out, make her stop. And she's not mad at me. She's pointing at her like, I'm going to rip her throat out if she doesn't stop. She never mentioned that crock or anything, but it was almost like, you've taken something of mine and I want it back. And you're going to have to get out of like being here. I'm going to do whatever it takes to go back where I came from or whatever, you know. But she hasn't experienced Catherine since then. She messaged, we see each other a couple of times a week, but she did message me the other night. She goes, do you think talking about Catherine's going to bring her back? She's super in fear of that. I mean, this is how traumatic it was for her. And I said, I don't think so. We never can tell, but I don't think so. I think it's okay. But the other night she had another, it wasn't a Catherine episode, but she had a sleep paralysis of someone choking. I'm not sure if it's choking, but she said she woke up, couldn't breathe, something's on top of her and all that. I'm like, well, I haven't seen anything in your house. She goes, I just keep seeing weird stuff. I said, I'm not excusing it. I know that's scary. I said, I think it's just in your brain. You know, I'm going to talk about it. And hopefully it's just, you know, inside your brain, knowing that I'm going to talk about a traumatic experience that you went through. So, yeah,
man. Wow.
Crazy stuff. But I can, like, again, I can sit on her couch. I can remember sitting on her couch, not seeing her with my eyes, but in my brain, I could, if I was a good artist, I could draw her. That's how vivid she was, and her voice and the way she looked and the tight colored dress and her hand pointing, just insanity. Yeah.
Dude, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even gonna be able to sleep tonight, Chris.
Sorry.
Oh man, again, that's just another one of those things. Like, you can't explain that away. There's no explaining that away. And then, you know, I wholeheartedly believe that these things can attach themselves to certain objects. And and when people take these things on, I mean, there's too many stories. There's just way too many stories.
Oh, yeah. And I have many stories that are, you know, my mom collected antiques for years and she knew. She'd bring things in and all of a sudden, like, hey, what happened to that mirror? And it'd be gone. She's like, nope, something attached. I got rid of it. You know, I've experienced that numerous times in my life. It's just weird.
Man. This has been a heater. I just now look down and realize we've been going for almost 2 hours. Yeah, now realize that. Dude, I could listen to these experiences all night. I mean, you have literally lived. You need to write a book. You need to write a book just of your stories, and you can hold it in your own library.
Yeah, I've really thought about it. You know, I have plenty more, and I've really thought about just writing them all down. And if somebody wants to read it, cool. And if I even thought about maybe putting a blog spot on it and just writing them down and seeing if anybody wants to read them, because
I'm sure there would be interest.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, I've experienced all this with people. It wasn't like I was out there by myself, because there's no way I'd go out by myself and do any of that. And I'm 46 years old. I mean, this began in 2004 and it's 2023. So I've done it a while, but in the past couple of years, when Harper was born and we did it so much, I really had the feeling I was bringing stuff home.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do that to my daughter. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Whenever you said earlier, you know, you talked about, you know, you quit reading this and you quit doing that and you kind of started listening to us and it brought you back into the weird. Look, man, when I had all the experiences that I had when my son was born, and I'm sure that, you know, you've heard the whole Shadow Man trilogy that we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went away from it for years. I mean, years. I didn't want to watch a horror movie. I didn't want to read any kind of spooky novels when somebody would start telling a story. I mean, yeah, I would listen, but I didn't want to take any part of any of that stuff, just because I mean, it's traumatizing. Like, some of these events are traumatizing, and you feel like, well, we've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen how it works with, if you don't put any energy into this stuff, you just totally ignore it and leave it alone. You put no belief in it. You just, you put it in this little box in your brain, you lock it up tight and you throw away the key. You forget about it.
Yeah.
You see nothing else from it. But as soon as you start bringing it back up,
comes knocking.
It comes knocking, and not only to you, but to a bunch of other people. And it's so insane. But if you're anything like me, I'm at this point in my life, you know, with my faith, that all this stuff that's going on, I think it's important that we get out there and to let people know that, you know, people have these experiences. And when you do, it doesn't mean that you're crazy. It doesn't mean that, you know, something is wrong with you. This happens. And not only does it happen, but we have a foundation. We have, you know, the Bible that we can go to and explain a lot of this stuff away. Now, some things we still can't, but we know that there's a spiritual realm. We know that there are angels and demons occupying it and in constant motion, and sometimes at war and battle with each other. nonstop, all the time. We know that there's a spiritual war going on. And sometimes I feel like we kind of, you know, us as humans, we get stuck in the middle of that. Yeah. And that's, even though it may be operating and taking place in a different realm that we may not see, I think sometimes we get flashes. And I think times, like, I believe people such as yourself, people with what they would call the sight, as my mom would call her, second sight, or whatever you want to call it, you know, clairvoyance or sensitivity or a sixth sense, you know, whatever title you want to throw on that. Mm-hmm. I believe that some people are just able to see these things and to communicate with and to experience these things that other people can't.
Yeah.
You're like a magnet. You're like a magnet for the paranormal.
Yeah. It seems like that's what it's been like most of my life. So,
man, that's so crazy. I'll tell you what we'll do, Chris, because I'm the way that you're talking, you've got plenty more stories. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead, since I know we both have to work tomorrow, instead of making this a hollerback episode, let's just bring you back on the show. Because when the hill folk hear this, when they're going to want you back anyway, period.
Okay.
They're going to want to make you a fourth host.
I'll be okay with that.
Let's just bring you back on the show. Let's give it a few weeks or whatever and work some things out.
Yeah.
And we'll look at our schedules and we'll keep this relationship building and growing and we'll bring you back on here to finish telling the rest of your stories.
Sure.
And maybe get into some more of, you know, theorizing about what some of this stuff is and how it may operate. Because, man, I'm telling you, these stories are some of, if not the best, that have been told on this show. I mean, this has been awesome. It's been a blast.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, you got an open door. Open door. It may be one of those times if we have a guest that doesn't work out, or we have a rescheduling conflict or issue or whatever, it might just be like, hey, Chris, what are you doing? What are you doing tonight?
you can give me a couple hours head notice and I'll make it work.
That'll work, man. Well, Chris, we definitely cool. appreciate you coming on, man. You're a fantastic storyteller. And again, I hate calling it stories because these are real life experiences.
Yep.
And you know, you can tell when people are talking about this stuff, like the body language and the facial changes and, you know, the passion that you bring some of these stories. And, you know, I could watch you go back to these times and these experiences, and I could see just how traumatic they were in the moment. Yeah. Because I mean, you're a great speaker, but I could still see, like, this is bothering him. This is bothering.
It still does.
And that's when I know there's truth being told here. Like, this dude has actually seen what he's saying. He's experienced what he's talking about. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you being vulnerable and telling these stories, you know, and I definitely understand the hesitancy behind talking about some of this stuff, because it is kind of taboo, right? I mean, especially where we live, nobody wants to talk about this. Well, a certain percentage won't talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
But what I've found is the more open that we are, and the more open that we are about sharing our own experiences and our own stories and allowing people to see that, you know what? Hey, other people are going through this same thing. That's when you really see people open up. And if this platform here is nothing else, I want it to be a place where people can feel comfortable enough to come on, to share their experiences, and not feel like the crazy person in the room, because there's nobody going to be on here that's crazier than me.
Same.
But again, dude, I really, really appreciate you. We'll definitely have you back.
Cool. Well, thank you guys very much. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, Hillfolk, you know, again, where to find us, all the socials, those are listed in the show notes. Send us anything that you want to send us, you know, stories, encounters, experiences, accounts, questions, concerns, comments. Send all that to AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. Please be sure to continue leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. We appreciate those so much. You can support us in all kinds of different ways. We have a support the show link if you want to leave a one-time donation. We have a Patreon if you feel led to go over there and check that out. We have bonus episodes, hollerback episodes, polls going on over there. We have, you know, options for you to pick our topics. We have a lot of different things going on over on Patreon. So you can go check that out at patreon.com/Appalachian_intelligence. Remember the Fordian Airwaves podcasting conference coming up October the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Buy your tickets for that. Come hang out with us or allow us to hang out with you. Be on the lookout for some merch. Well, I won't put all the details out there. It'll be there when it gets there, but it'll probably be within the same week that y'all are here in this episode. So just be on the lookout for merch if you're interested in getting some cool AI swag, hat, t-shirt. It's some good stuff coming out here. I showed Chris some of the stuff that we're working on. He seemed like he enjoyed it. So hopefully the rest of y'all do too. And y'all can start wearing AI billboards around wherever you go. That's one way to share the show. And that's the most important way that you can support us, is sharing the show. Share it however you're most comfortable sharing it. If you're not a big talker, if you don't like to let the rest of the world know what a weirdo you are, then you can just wear a hat or a shirt around. And then people will see that and say, huh, what's that? Type in a quick Google search and boom, they've found three idiots talking to a whole bunch of smart people every week. But again, we appreciate all y'all Hill folk. We appreciate all you do. We appreciate you more than you'll ever, ever know. And we love you. And if Lance was here, he'd say, love yous, mean it. And until next time, we'll see y'all later.